So that is. So I have two parts of talk, and one for GIS for CIDR, that's a big gap for information system. And the other part is the in-depth information using structured stuff and method. Okay, this is CIDR. And then, so during this workshop, so all the tutorials and everything, so we were dealing with those things. So here's the chemistry and mineralogical data sets. You get those organizations, and you're just not going to get the data from those organizations. And also, other organizations are valuable for CIDR. So it's kind of multidisciplinary environment. Has a lot of data communication. So what I was trying to stress here, CIDR needs an environment to connect these data sets and then give a service to its members. So to do that, so that's the geographical information system. So I was trying to play it, but that's not the exact show. However, I just tried to download CMTs, and so that was one paper, low amount data sets. It was showing some subduction at the environment, and kind of using the ages from the. So this is not I'm trying to interpret. This is just showing what you can do with this and quickly map it. And also you can check out what these are all about. And here there are two data sets, and then the information on this inside. So I can do and do some sort of query selection methods, and then change these whatever I want to map. So whatever I can do with this ArcGIS ArcMap or ArcView, that's the Esri product. So I can do something on my laptop, but also whatever I can do, I can just transfer it to web environment and use internet and let the community do it also. So therefore, a GIS server, which you need it for CIDR, maybe. So that's why I suggest. So server GIS can be used from Esri reference, the main large GIS database, just such as we did for workshop. And internet delivery of geographical information. That's the geographical information means there's geographically located information, and then is you can use software and hardware, and then to back them up and so also to depend on your goals. So that's the whole thing. So you can do the hosting for central GIS portals, so for information discovery and use. Also, let other your community or other organizations access your data, and then distribute, such as distribute GIS data management and analysis. So whatever you can do, you can distribute, and internet delivery of comprehensive GIS functionality. So these are available. So what I see is large data sets growing up every day. So maintenance comes everywhere, so you have to manage it. So there is a tool out there maybe you can use. So the second part of the talk is first with that estimation using the SAP sort of second method. And this is basically using the P will be VP and must be phases. So what it does is, hypothetically, if you think this is P and then it will be big P and little s p phases, and if you have cyber length and then you're a good expert and you're looking at it by eye and you can observe a little big P, if you have a good closure of P to S. But now it's again as a light, so we can do it with directly from the waveform and using Sepsir method. The Sepsir method is basically taking, Sepsir stacking method is just that taking large enough window is covering these three faces, and then moving that window along the seismogram and then stacking that path, moving along the, and then cutting those and then taking the pre-transform and then pulse spectrum and inverse bridge as well, and gets the Sepsir. So then stacking them all together. So this is the theory. Here's that. The signal construction of the two delay, like with the SP, and then here the bridge transform, pulse spectrum of it, and then inverse bridge transform, or logarithmic power inverse to pre-transform. So as an example, I used for this in the Hedgehog part, and this is the Hedgehog coastal area, and here's the Smyrna or Izmir in Long Main. And we had three earthquakes, a small pond, 9.5, and within the sea area. And so how I can do the Sepsir stacking and then determine, estimate those depths of those compound earthquakes and then locate them and get the geometry of the fault. So here's that event first with the Sepsir stacking with this high peak.
Can you put that on the slideshow so it'll be a little bigger?
Oh, that's good. Put that on the slideshow. Okay, yeah, that was okay. All right, here's that three earthquakes.
Sorry.
So I said there's something wrong with this. Okay. So three events, event one and two and three. So these are the one station, according, I think in Germany it's 1500 kilometers distance. So I got, for the Sepsir stacking, I got this thick, isolated here, a little p, big p, here's a little p, big p, here's a little p, big p. And I can read those times for those phases. And then for the average crustal velocity, and then this two-way time, for example, here is about, let's say, four seconds, and 2 seconds, the two-way time, and it's 2 seconds times 6 kilometers per second is 12 kilometers per depth. So basically, and then you compare them, and also if I locate those earthquakes and then reproject to the surface and then look at the relocation of the earthquakes, and it will give me the right geometry. And here's the location, and project back there, and then you can calculate the depth, it's 59 degrees. And here's the comparison of ISC and little p, big p isolated also, we reported, and then also other depths reported. So these are the hard depths. So it's here is a shallow one, is missed, and you have in this up by ISC. Yeah, here is that also. We have a focal mechanism, so we have a double solution over there, and then so I can locate this project back to the surface. Here's the beeping site, so I can pick the the right direction for the programmatic too.
So it's complementary.
And sorry, this method provides more accurate depth estimates for crustal earthquakes using one or more regional seismic stations. Also, you can use seismic stations to stack them if you have more. And also, you can use only one seismic station if you're limited to use. So, relative locations of regional events with these depth constraints give accurate high percentages that define the active fault regime for any tectonic region, such as the Caesar region. For events large enough to have well-defined focal mechanisms, both the fault geometry and slip at the high percentage can be determined as this one. If there are several variable earthquakes at different depths on a given fault, the fault can be mapped in the three dimensions and related to tectonic stress regimes prevailing the area. So it's pretty useful, and I think somebody was you were saying if we can use this little P big P upside down, and we can this going surface instead transition might be upside down.
Okay.
How do you decide the size of the thing that, of your moving when you
yeah.
How do you decide
windows? Yeah. Moving windows?
Yeah, how do you decide a big
how you recover the little P big P, and then there's a good enough distance to you can march between P and S. And
no, what I mean is how do you decide Wait, because you take part of the side of the ramp from the beginning and you stop it somewhere. Where do you stop it? I mean, the side of
it. Yeah, so I pick a P first. Mm-hmm. So I start with P, and so first window with P, little less P also.
So you have to.
So and then move, and then get overlapping windows. And then take their, get their step streams and then step them. I have a bunch of slides showing step by step.
So are you suggesting we should start a database for Sizer?
Yeah, it's a simple one. It's of course you don't have data, but other organizations here. So this is an organizational based approach. So and then it's members communicating with other data sets. So it will be larger in the future, or when you deal with it. And it will be a problem. Eventually, you will need a place to supply these kind of buttons. And a simple one is just supporting the FTP environment. Or just a website and saying, okay, you can go to this link and get this data. However, when you start to communicate with other disciplines, and there are problems. And some of them just location problems. And some locations are sensitive, some of them not, and some of them standard problems. So those will grow and like an experience in the past. Since 1995, I haven't dealt with these. I'm not this one. So it will be trouble.
Okay.
I'm asking for help.
Yeah, of course.
How much user-friendly is a GIS interface? GIS interface?
Has,
because everybody should be able to upload easily the things.
We were using only GIS softwares, and one of them is the actually this is software engineering fund. So selecting software, so we have already just a lot of softwares, but this software has really good update and for future works and format. Updates, and so it has graphical abilities like 3D, 2D, all of them, and there is also important thing is SQL and spreadsheet type and Visual Basic and C++ types, and also incorporated. And as I can say, it's 3D, and then server-based. So whatever I can do on my laptop or my desktop, I have this license or something very expensive, so everybody cannot get it. Therefore, we just do it, through the web page. So you just enter, that's interactive mapping, those kind of things. So for example, Adam can go to a website and then map it quickly, whatever he needs to look at, other places like immunological or geochemistry.
Thank you.